gentlemen. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to Langston Church. It's a just a privilege, blessing and privilege to be in God's house, to be able to worship freely together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We really want to exalt God today with how great thou art. You may stand and sit as you feel led.
Praise our heart, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Okay, today we'll be in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, And one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
All right, so we sat here and we are, where did I put my, there we go. I was like, I know I had my sermon notes. So we're beginning a brief series, three-part series on stewardship. This is something that I was asked to do. This is something that needs to be done, should be done on a yearly basis. And so we're gonna divide this up. This time, this go-round, this year, we're going to talk about stewardship. And we're going to talk about it in light of time, tithe, and talent. And each one of these is an interesting part. When you build up a theology, if you will, of stewardship, it's understanding that you go through the scriptures. You can't focus really on just one scripture when you build a theology. You have to look and you have to study and you have to go through a lot of scriptures. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures to get you all to understand how it is that we come to this point that we are to give time to the church. Giving one's time to the church is an interesting tithe. You think about it, there are examples in the Bible. We might not expressly talk about this. When I talk about a theology, the Trinity, we teach the gospel of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And yet there is no specific verse that teaches a doctrine of the Trinity. We know it's there. We know it's true. We look at the baptism of Jesus, and it's the one place where we can see all three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. But we don't have a true doctrine of the Trinity, and so we have to build it up. We have to study the scriptures on the Father, study the scriptures on the Son, study the scriptures on the Spirit, and we build up not only a doctrine of the Trinity, but then we also are able to break that down and build up a doctrine of the Father, doctrine of the Son, doctrine of the Spirit. And so this is what we've done with this in time. Now, I'm going to say this. There is not enough time to really, in one day, preach on giving time to the church. So what I've done is I've tried to distill this down into a meal for us to study, to think about, and to pray about. And we look at this, and we see that this is an interesting thing. When the giving of our time and talent, it is key to both the growing Christian and the church, that this is an intricate tapestry that God has put together. He's laid out for us. The gifts of the Spirit are given out as the Spirit sees need. And so within that, each one of us has a different talent. Each one of us has a different gift. Each one of us has something different that we bring to the table. And that's hard for people within churches to understand, because we all want church to be the same. But here's the one thing. Here's the key thing. No church is going to be the same. Every church is going to be different because of the different makeup of the people. And we will sit there and we will know needs that are needed within the church. And the one key thing that we do is we pray for God to deliver a person, bring us a person who has that key element, that talent, that gift that the church needs. We may know what that talent is, and we may sit there and say, this would be a great talent to have. But many times we sit there, and what happens is people come to a church, they may have that talent, but they're not a good fit. They're not a good fit for the church. And that's a difficult thing to understand. And we sit there, and they may have come to the church for several months, but there are key issues that they have that are not being met. And so it doesn't work out in the long run. what we see here is we can look at, when it comes to gifts and giving time, we can look at at one of the parables of Jesus. When Jesus talks about the master that gives out the talents, he gives 1 5, 1 2, 1 1. And what we have to understand within the church itself is people sit there and they will invest their talents. The one servant who has 5 invests those talents so that they double. And when the master comes back and says, "What did you do?" He says, "I took what you gave me and I doubled it." And the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he lets him keep that talent. The other servant that has 2, he says the same thing. He says, "I invested it and I doubled it. So you gave me 2, now I have 4. And he turns around and, just making sure this is on, he turns around and the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he gives him the talents to keep. The last servant is the servant that doesn't understand stewardship of time and talent. The last servant comes and he sits there and he says, "Oh, I knew my master would be this cruel person. He would yell and all this stuff. So what I did is I took this talent and I buried it. And here it is, alas." And the master yells at him, says, "You slothful servant, get away from me." And then he takes that talent and he gives it to the one with the 10. And so we have to come to this understanding that when God gives us of our time, our tithe, and our talent, we need to be investing into the church because that's what we are called to do. That is the one thing we see in the book of Acts, that what happens is this church is sitting there and they keep investing back into the church. There is a responsibility of how these are used, but it goes a little more. We as a community of believers, we are a community of believers, and so we have to understand that more is often required of us. So let's delve into giving time to the church. So the first point is this: God's gifts are for our growth and the church's benefit. It's kind of an interesting thing when you think of that. The verse that I want us to look at is 1 Corinthians 12:7. And this is what the Apostle Paul says about giving of gifts. He says, "To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So what we often see is that God gives things to us, good things. He gives his money, he gives us time, he gives us talent. And what is that to do here in the church? That is to build the church up. It's to make it into the people he wants. It's understanding that we sit here, we come into this building, and we call this building church. But it's not really church. We are the church. We have to come and understand that we are the church. I may be up here and I may be preaching as the pastor and teaching, but we all have gifts. We all have gifts that help build us up. To one, they may have a gift of mercy. To another one, a gift of encouragement. To another one, they may have a gift of accounting. But all these gifts come together to help build up the church. And what we have to understand is, within that, it's coming together to understand that we have to make time. And making time is a tough thing. When we look at how all these come together, it's to understand that we call out people on certain things. Recently, I was called out by somebody in the church because they saw things that I was slowly starting to lack. And so they said, "Pastor, I just want to talk to you and bring these things up." And after I heard them, I said, "Yeah, you know, you're right. There are some areas that I need to work in." And that's what we do Iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:17 tells us that iron sharpens iron. And that's what we're to do. We're to do that. We're to build one another up. And how does that look like? We have to remember that the church is called a body. We are a body of believers. What does that mean for us? What that means for us is that the church is a living, breathing organism. Each one of us is living and breathing, right? So here's the thing. If we are together as one, and that's the thing that we have to understand. Again, we look at this building and we think this building is the church, but we are the church. This building could be burned down and we would still find a place to meet, whether it was in a home or a school or somewhere, and we would still be Legacy Church because that's what we are called to be and called to do. And so if we are a living, breathing thing, we have to come to understand what does that look like. And for a lot of us, we have to understand, like any family, we're going to have people that we cannot stand. You know? It's the old saying about the uncle, the black sheep of the family that you don't want to see on Christmas Day. There's people like that in church. But the Bible's clear. We can't shoo them away. They are here for a reason. They have a gift and talent. And if we're not sitting there trying to help them find how to use that gift and talent within the church, we are failing. And here's the thing. Everybody says it's the pastor's duty. No. According to the Bible, it's everyone's duty within the church. I'm just here to help clarify it for you. I'm just here to really get you to see the layout of this. Look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 14 through 20. This is what he says about building up the church. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an ear, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. In other words, you do not look down on yourself. Don't ever look down on yourself, saying, I lack something. No, you are uniquely and wonderfully made by God. And that's the thing that we have to understand. And when we're uniquely and wonderfully made by God, we are made for a purpose. We're made for something. And part of that purpose is here in this body. And then you have to ask yourself, what do I have that I can give? See, part of what he's talking about here is we don't want everybody to be the same. We don't want to be automatons. We don't want to be robots. We want people with different gifts and talents, thoughts. There's a thing going around, a study, it's been around actually for a while, and it's something that as a revitalizer, as a person who has gotten his degree in revitalization, church revitalization, it's this thing called groupthink. And what it is groupthink comes in, and it really is something at the heart of dying churches where nobody wants to give their opinion. Because they don't want the arguments. They sit there and they think about the fights of the past. And the thing is everybody has a strong will. There are people who have a strong will who want something their way. But the question is, what is the best for the church? The best for the church is not keeping quiet. The best for the church is for everybody to come together, everybody to have a voice, and everybody to put that into something and come up with solutions. Because the main thing that we see here is if we have that solution, if we sit there and we say, this is what we're lacking, let's go to prayer. And we pray about it and we come back together. And we don't know. There might be like several different ideas. But here's the one thing. One of those ideas is going to be great. One of those ideas may be what God wants for the church to do. And so that's what we need to do. We need to come together. We need to pray. We need to go forward in this. And this is what Paul's saying, is that everybody is uniquely made. We can't all be one thing. We have many gifts, many talents, because we are a body. We don't know who the nose is, who the eyes are, the ears, the back hair, whatever. But everybody has a gift and a talent that they have to put forward in this. And how does this work? How does this work? Here's the thing. No matter how young or old you are, you are here to serve this body. People often misquote the verse about the cord of three strands. We think about that. Most people put that to the marriage, that it's the husband, wife, and Jesus. But look at what the whole verse says. One thing about exegeting scripture is you look at the whole verse to get the whole context. The truth of this verse is that it is about a fight, and that one-on-one, the evil may prevail. But if two good men are there, the odds are better to beat back the evil. But look at what it says in Ecclesiastes 12:17. It says, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." So we have to come together, even if we're fighting against adversaries. And that's the thing. We may have difference of opinions, but we're all on the same mission. We're all here to worship God, but we're all here to call the lost to Christ. We're all here to pray for our family. We're all here to bring people into the saving knowledge of Christ. And that's what we need to do. For us as a church, we get frustrated when we're doing things ourselves. But here's the thing. Together we can relax. We can gain strength. It's not on 100% of the individual. If four people are called to do one job, that's 25%. We give our time. And this happens when the church is in need of help when it comes to cleaning the church, painting, decorating, all sorts of things that we look around and we see and we just kind of hold up. And the thing is that there's stuff out there that we can do stuff. We can paint. We can decorate, we can clean, we can vacuum. Working together, we take a load, and it is sort of what we hear about bearing one another's burdens. When that scripture said, that's talking about whatever a person's dealing with, you help them, you pray with them, you listen to them. But on the other thing, you know, we look at it, even in organizations like the military. There are times where a soldier will be carrying something and it becomes too hard because they are weak, they are tired, and a soldier who is stronger will pick up the burden for his brother and go forward. And that's what we want to do. The Bible has that kind of imagery. It calls us soldiers. Paul talks about spiritual armor, and so it's a concept that we need to come and understand. And so giving our time and talent helps relieve burdens, because that's the one thing. If people are trying to get out to do things, you can't always put the burden on one or two or three people. We as a whole church should be coming together and figuring out how to divide the stuff in here evenly. That is what giving your time to the church is, in part. It's being able to do that. It's for their benefit. It's to help them so that they can spend time with family and friends and other ones. But let's talk. We talked about bearing each other's burdens. And that's the second point. Paul talks about that in Galatians 6:2. He says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Is this understanding that no matter how mature you are in your faith, We are called to come alongside our brothers and sisters and help them walk through the journey. Jesus took a burden from us when he took the sin up on the cross. So why would we not want to do that for our brothers and sisters? Why would we not want to help them in their time of mourning, in their time of joy, in their time of sickness, in their time of health? We are called to bear one another's burdens. We create a support system. It's interesting when you think about it, because we often come here, we often come to the church, and yes, the church is about studying the Bible. It's about learning who Jesus is, learning who God the Father is, and how does that apply to me? How do I put that knowledge into works? How do I do all this stuff? But at the same time, here's the thing, we are family. And in the book of Acts, we see that. We see people selling their goods, you know, what they didn't need, to give to those in their community who were poor, who were lacking, maybe not able to make a bill, maybe not able to put food on the table. And they did that. John Brownlee, when he was here a couple of weeks ago, he preached on Barnabas in Acts 4. And that was the thing. Barnabas sold his property because he knew the church had need. He knew that there were people within his body that had need. And he was well off, and he knew he didn't need that extra piece of property, and so he sold it to give to the church, so the church had the means to minister. And that's what we are called. We are a community. We are a support system. And that requires time. That requires time. When we look at it, you know, how do we bear one another's burdens? That can be, like I said, it can be somebody going through a sin. It can be somebody going through a mourning time, a time of illness, a joyous time. But when we make the time to sit with them, to pray with them, to talk to them, to cry with them. Yeah, I'm saying that. To cry with them. We do more as a church. We do more as a body of believers because we are called to do that. We are called to share. We are called to do what the Bible tells us. What we did for Melissa is part of that. It's public. So now, you know what? I'm going to tell you all, be praying for her this week. Mm-hmm. If you have the means of messaging her, message her, find out how she's doing. That's what we are called to do. Be praying, crying, fasting, praying for her. That is what bearing one another's burdens are. Paul in Romans 12, he puts it this way. He says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." When we think about that, you know, there's that key verse about the lowly. Associate with the lowly. What that means is, it means don't, you know, James, the brother of Christ, talks about that. When the rich man walks in, don't give all the attention to him. Because Jesus ministered mainly to the poor. And that's what we have to do. We have to minister to those who are going through issues, those who are struggling, those who have lost things. We are called to visit others in their time of need, when they are recovering from surgeries. And we make time for them when something happens in their lives, the loss of a loved one, making time to cheer them up. It shows that we genuinely care for one another and that we love them. People are often won to the church when they see this in action. We live in an age where people say that the Bible is false, Christianity is false. And the truth is, a lot of Christians out there have become too full of themselves, just as Paul writes there in Romans 12. They've become too full of themselves. They care only about themselves, and they have forgotten what it is to love one another. We look at how the love of Christ won over his own followers. It was a group of fishermen, tax collectors, a zealot, a prostitute, religious leaders, just to name a few. People who the world would have said, pff. But we understand the church to be a family. And we know that we would make time for our own family. Then we must also come to understand that we must make time for our church family too. That comes to our final point, tithing time. Tithing time is an interesting concept. What is tithing? Okay, well, let's look at the first real mention of this. It's in Leviticus 27:30. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So the Bible begins establishing this tithing time. It is a time to honor the Lord for what he has given us. A tithe is a portion. It's 10% of what we do. Literally in the Hebrew, tithe, which is the Hebrew word, means tenth. And that can be your income. That can be your time. For some who cannot give a full tithe, they tithe, according to Dave Ramsey, they tithe time to make up for what they cannot give financially at that time. And it helps the church because the church is able to go and do more. This custom of tithing is biblical, and many Christians and Jews practice it still today. There are some churches that would say tithing is not biblical. It is as Puritan Thomas Watson once said, time is a talent to trade with. When it comes to tithing time. And we have to understand, what would this look like if everybody in the church modeled a tithing of time? Well, we think about it this way. This is how one scholar that I read this week said. He said, think of it this way. What do we tithe of our time? Do we tithe the 24 times 7 days a week hours? Or do we tithe our time that we work? Well, if we give a tenth of what we work, we would also give a tenth of the time that we work. So if you work 40 hours a week, you would give 4 hours. And here's the easy thing. You're already tithing time. You're here in the church, so you are already tithing your time. So then it becomes, if everybody is in the church busy for 2 hours a day, 2 hours at a time, so we're thinking Bible study, men's discipleship, church. The remaining time you could use to help. You could use that time to help mow the lawn, paint the walls, clean, dust, whatever. And that's the thing that he talks about in this. It's this understanding that when we come to understand this biblical concept of tithe, the time tithe is a portion of our waking hours is overwhelming. But the 10% of the 40-hour work week, that portion of our time and talent in the service of our congregation, the body of Christ, there are many ways that we can give time to God through the church. That includes Sunday school, teaching Sunday school, leading a Bible study, singing in choir, collecting the offering, serving on a committee, offering hospitality, taking care of the yard. Think about what you'd have fun doing. So that's the one thing. For me, it's one of those things. I relax when I'm in here. I still got to do this, but Larry Wood had made stands, and he was like, I didn't have time to paint because it was getting close to the cold weather, and he was like, it isn't going to do this. And I took one of these and I painted it. It's dark color. It's maybe not the correct color, but it's a dark color. And I found just that little time it took to paint that one thing. it's relaxing, it's enjoying to me. And of course, I'm going to do this. Now the weather's nice. We got the sun. I want to get this before the bees start coming out, because it's already bad with the barn swallows attacking you. But that's the thing. We take the time, reorganize, shift, do things. Why? Because we want to give back our time and talent. We want to make things. You know, most of you noticed that when we moved the speakers back and cleaned up here, it made it look bigger. It made it look more warm and inviting and everything. And that's giving. That's tithing of a time. That's what you do. It doesn't sound like much. But when it offers something for the people out there, you know, you guys, that's a lot. Now think about that. What things do you enjoy doing that you can give back? And that's what they ask. If every member of the church were to dedicate at least 4 hours a week to the congregation, remember that means being here for church service, how might it multiply that congregation's impact on its community in loving service to others and in spreading the gospel? So it becomes a big thing when we're able to give our time and talent. You know, you think about it, we can't do Chain of Lights without our Chain of Lights committee. And so they take time to meet and gather and get information and go out and buy stuff. And even though Chain of Lights isn't going to happen until the first Saturday in December, they're still given time. And what has happened in the past, even though we haven't done it for a few years, in the past, the first one, I'll admit, the first one was kind of shaky because we only had a short amount of time to get it going. But it still impacted. But then the next year when we did it, the people were looking forward to it. The people came. They were like, oh, who are you going to have singing? Who are you going to have for this? What are you doing out for food? What are you doing for... They liked it. In fact, we got a reputation for the hot chocolate bar. And that sounds small, but if people are looking forward to something, now the question is, as they're sitting there having hot chocolate, take the time to talk to them. Take the time to find out who they are, why they're there. And do more. It kind of goes with what one of my mentors, Mark Clifton, says. If the doors to your church were to close tomorrow, what would be the impact felt among the community? If we're not impacting the community, we need to. We need to begin. So in closing, this is the thing. We look at this. It may seem like a lot to give your time, but it really isn't. For some, it is a matter of time management. Much like many need to manage their money, so they need to know what their time is and how to manage it properly. Here's the thing. If you're sitting there saying, how do I manage my time? I don't have it on me, but I was actually just mentioning this. I have field journals that I keep with me. And in the field journals, I'll write down when I know that I have a meeting coming up. Now, a lot of people will sit there and say, don't you have a smartphone? Yes. Here's the thing. I'm still old school. I still like paper and pen. I've moved a lot. Like when I went to college 14 years ago, I moved from having a notebook and writing everything down to actually opening up Word on my laptop and typing all the notes out. And I found that to be a lot easier. But pen and paper is still a good old solution, old school, as they say. So the thing is if you're trying to figure out your time, write those down. Get a daily planner. Those are the easiest thing. You have the days of the month. So when somebody sits there and says, can you do this on July 6th? You can go into your planner and say, no, I'm actually going with my family on a trip that week. So can we move it to, and you sit there and you're able to do that. When we're able to tithe like that, when we're able to control our time management, it makes things better because we are supposed to be spending time. Here's the other thing that I didn't mention, but when we tithe our time, how are you tithing time to your family? How are you tithing time to your family? Do you have a time to pray together? Read the Bible together? Do devotions? That's one of the things that we need to do. Sometimes I'm bad at it, I'll admit it. Sometimes I sit there and I get too wrapped up in like preparing sermons that Natalie has to come up and say, hey, can we take time to pray together? And that's what we have to do. That's what we're commanded to do. We may never know, but we can look at when we have done things for the church and in the past, how those things begin to make an impact. It can seem like a lot, but tithing is like exercise, small steps to make longer strides. In the long run, we turn around and see the legacy we have left by giving to the ministry that we have been called to. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you now, and Father, we sit here and we thank you that we have been able to do this. And so, Father, we ask in your Son's name that we would be able to truly understand, even in small steps, tithing our time to you, tithing our time to our church, and tithing that time to our family.